the way they are now, they're right by the edge of the water. Grant knew animals often performed such mating rituals for hours at a time. They went without food. They paid attention to nothing else. He glanced at his watch. 9:20.
What do we do?
Tim said. Grant sighed. I have no idea. He sat down in the raft, and then the Dilophosaurs began to honk and roar repeatedly in agitation. He looked up. The animals were both facing away from the river.
What is it?
Lex said. Grant smiled. I think we're finally getting some help. He pushed off from the bank. I want you two kids to lie flat on the rubber. We'll go past as fast as we can, but just remember, whatever happens, don't say anything. And don't move, okay? The raft began to drift downstream toward the hooting Dilophosaurs. It gained speed. Lex lay at Grant's feet, staring at him with frightened eyes. They were coming closer to the Dilophosaurs, which were still turned away from the river. But he pulled out his air pistol, checked the chamber. The raft continued on, and they smelled a peculiar odor, sweet and nauseating at the same time. It smelled like dried vomit. The hooting of the Dilophosaurs was louder. The raft came around a final bend, and Grant caught his breath. The Dilophosaurs were just a few feet away, honking at the trees beyond the river. As Grant had suspected, they were honking at the Tyrannosaur. The Tyrannosaur was trying to break through the foliage, and the Dillos hooted and stomped their feet in the mud. The raft drifted past them. The smell was nauseating. The Tyrannosaur roared, probably because it saw the raft. But in another moment, a thump. The raft stopped moving. They were aground against the riverbank, just a few feet downstream from the Dilophosaurs. Lex whispered,
"Oh, great!"
There was a long, slow scraping sound of the raft against the mud. Then the raft was moving again. They were going down the river. The Tyrannosaur roared a final time and moved off. One Dilophosaur looked surprised, then hooted. The other Dilophosaur hooted in reply. The raft floated downriver. Tyrannosaur. The jeep bounced along in the glaring sun. Muldoon was driving, with Gennaro at his side. They were in an open field, moving away from the dense line of foliage and palm trees that marked the course of the river 100 yards to the east. They came to a rise, and Muldoon stopped the car.
"Christ, it's hot," he said, wiping his forehead with the back of his arm. He drank from the bottle of whiskey between his knees, then offered it to Gennaro. Gennaro shook his head. He stared at the landscape shimmering in the morning heat. Then he looked down at the onboard computer and video monitor mounted in the dashboard. The monitor showed views of the park from remote cameras. Still no sign of Grant and the children, or of the Tyrannosaur. The radio crackled.
"Muldoon?"
Muldoon picked up the handset.
"Yeah. You got your onboards? I found the Rex. He's in grid 442, going to 443.
"Just a minute," Muldoon said, adjusting the monitor.
"Yeah, I got him now. Following the river."
The animal was slinking along the foliage that lined the banks of the river going north.
"Take it easy with him. Just immobilize him."
"Don't worry," Muldoon said, squinting in the sun.
"I won't hurt him."
"Remember," Arnold said, "the Tyrannosaur's our main tourist attraction."
Muldoon turned off his radio with a crackle of static.
"Bloody fool," he said. "They're still talking about tourists."
Muldoon started the engine.
"Let's go see Rexy and give him a dose."